Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here on the show today. Of course, Bucknell would love to have Nate Sestina in their lineup. They would certainly make, no matter what, the lineup better. But Kentucky now has him, and he made big contributions last night in the win for the Cats over Michigan State.
Sestina looking, still looking, gets it in with 15 seconds to go to Higgins. Higgins busting into the front court, hits Sestina on the run for the dunk, and a closing basket for Kentucky.
The proverbial exclamation point.
Well, he also hit some threes last night. He played really well. He gives them a veteran presence that any young team needs. And Kentucky beat Michigan State last night 69-62. Duke also won last night. Penn State won. Penn State has Wagner Saturday at 4 in the Jordan Center. By the way, the Penn State-Ohio State game has been announced. That will be a noon kickoff in Columbus, and Fox will have it. In fact, Fox is going to do a two-hour pregame show from 10 to noon that day. But first things first, it's Minnesota Saturday at noon in Minneapolis. And the guy that I have, I don't care, it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be, he's just really good at doing all of them, and I have great respect for him. That's Sean McDonough. He'll work the game with Todd Blackledge and Holly Rose Saturday in Minneapolis. Sean, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It'll be good to see you again. Todd has done, Blackledge has done, this will be his fourth Penn State game because you were justifiably being honored at Syracuse when Penn State played Pitt. So this will be your third time through. So, Sean, when you've looked at Penn State and you're looking to see progress and so forth, what are you seeing in Penn State?
Progress. I think you have. You know, I really like the team. I think that's been obvious with the games that we've done and the commentary that we've had. You know, I think they're really talented on both sides of the ball. Todd made the statement, can't remember which one of the games we did, maybe when we were at Iowa, that he felt, you know, from an athleticism standpoint, you know, strength and size and speed, you know, that they are the closest thing, if not a match for Ohio State in the Big Ten. You know, and Ohio State is a terrifically talented and athletic team. So, yeah, I think they're terrific on both sides of the ball. I think they're solid in the kicking game as well. So I wasn't surprised when I saw the rankings the way they came out last night.
What have you thought of Sean Clifford so far in the two games you've worked?
Really good. First of all, I'm impressed when I met him. You know, you sit in the meeting and you think, right, well, okay, this is the kind of guy, and you've been around him a lot more than I have, Steve, but you know, you walk out of there thinking, you know, this is the kind of guy you want leading your team. You know, he's likable. He's got a great personality, but a lot of leadership skills. But then you talk to the players and the coaches, and they say, you know, when it's serious business time, he's the first guy to make sure that he has everybody's attention. So I like him, and I think, you know, I didn't know much about him before the year started, but I would think that he's probably been better than even most Penn State fans would have expected right out of the gate. You know, we were comparing his numbers through his first seven starts, I guess it was, when we were at Michigan State, to Trace McSorley's first seven starts. And, Clifford's numbers are actually a little bit better. You know, I think he's a good decision maker, protects the ball, can make a, I think all the throws, really. I mean, he has a nice touch and throws it downfield, and obviously can hurt you with his running ability, too. So I've been really, really impressed.
All right, well, I want to flip the script over to Minnesota for a moment. And you've had a chance to watch tape of a team that, when the season began, was not on a lot of radars. What has stuck out to you, Sean, about what you've seen on film so far?
That they're really good. You know, I really think that they are. I know it's hard for a lot of people to come to that conclusion. They just look at the quality of the competition. They haven't played a ranked opponent yet. It's been a strange season, as you know. I know how well you studied for the games. They really scuffled through their first four games. You know, they were trailing Georgia Southern by four late in the game, and they had a 3rd and 29 on their own six, and they were out of timeouts, and somehow they managed to get down the field and score and win the game. But, you know, they beat South Dakota State by 7, Fresno by 3, Georgia Southern by 3, Purdue by 7. You're like, oh, wow, you know. And then something clicked in. You know, ever since then, they're mauling people. And when you watch the tape, to get back to your original question, you know, it's not a fluke. The quarterback's excellent, solid, good, another good decision maker. I mean, 18 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. They are very talented at wide receiver.
Yeah.
They are deep and talented at running back. They have one of the biggest offensive lines in the country. The average size of their offensive line is bigger than the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think they have as many big playmakers on the defense, but they have enough. And I think what's impressive about their defense is that, you know, they're obviously well coached. Their program kind of took a big change last year when in the middle of the year they changed defensive coordinators. And, you know, you could track it from that very day that the points allowed went way down, and they got significantly better on defense. It's another example that coaching really is important and does make a difference. So, you know, they have some big playmakers on the defense, Winfield in the secondary, Carter Coughlin along the defensive line. But I think what stands out to me about their defense is it's just a unit that plays very well together and doesn't give up big plays and, you know, kind of makes you march down the field and earn it. And then, you know, they're a very well-coached team. You know, that comes through when you look at the way they possess the ball and they don't get penalized. You know, they're one of the least penalized teams in the country. They play hard, and I think it's one of the great stories in college football this season, and I think anybody who thinks Penn State is just going to show up and walk out there and beat them is in for a surprise. I really think this is going to be a game that goes right down to the wire, and I wouldn't be surprised if either team won it. I haven't looked at the point spread. I have no idea what it is, but I think it's going to be a very close, competitive game.
And not only that, there should be a lot of emotion in the stadium because, look, this has been an interesting ride. They haven't been in this spot in decades, for example. How much does that figure into, quote, a storyline in the game because of what the game – it's going to mean a lot to both teams, as you know.
It does.
Yeah, it's a stretch run. But, you know, Minnesota, I mean, this is an interesting spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 7 undefeated teams left. They haven't been 8-0 since 1941. They haven't been 5-0 in the Big Ten since 1961. You know, this is the 10th year of their stadium. It's the biggest game that they've played in those 10 years for sure. And I think you could go back a lot longer than that. You know, there are people who are obviously much more familiar with the history of Minnesota football than I am, although I'm brushing up on it as fast as I can. But you know, I think the atmosphere is going to be tremendous. You know, it's the state university. They've always been well supported. I mean, I've been there for basketball and hockey, you know. The people of Minnesota love the Gophers in all sports, and you know, I think their fans are believers, and you know, I think they're anxious for their team to go out there and prove to the rest of the country that you know, they deserve more credit and respect than they're getting. I was just on a radio show in the Twin Cities, and you know, there's some angst out there about their ranking in the initial ratings that came out last night, but you know, I think that's just a byproduct of their schedule, obviously. If they would be able to knock off Penn State, that number's going to change in the next round, for sure.
In the couple games that you've done with Penn State, K.J. Hamler certainly, you know, usually is in the thick of everything going on. When you watch him in person and on tape, what really stands out to you what he does?
You know, I thought Todd had a great comparison when he compared to Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
You know, the speed, similar size, just the ability to change a game with a relatively simple play. I mean, you don't have to throw him a bomb down the field. You can throw him a short pass and hand it to him. And, you know, he's a threat to score every time he gets in his hands, including in the kicking game, too. So, yeah, I think there was kind of, you know, it was almost painful for the Michigan State folks when we did that game. So there was a young man who was committed to go to Michigan State for about 2 years. And he told us for that time he thought he was going to Michigan State. And he is such an example of what they're lacking. I mean, if you put him on Michigan State, that offense is a lot different than, you know, the struggling, plotting output that it is and has been all season long and really for a couple of years. So I mean, he's a difference maker. You know, a guy who by himself can change a game, and I think he's certainly one of the best players that I've seen in the country this year.
It's one thing to look at a team on video; it's another thing to see them in person. So, when you see the Penn State defense in person, what strikes you?
The ability to generate pass rush for four guys.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. You know, obviously, it enables you to cover. You know, I like their secondary a lot. It's veteran guys who are smart, and I think they play well collectively. You know, Micah Parsons, I think, is the number one thing. I probably should have started with him. And it's, as you know, because you see it every week. We've seen it a lot of weeks, but he just looks to me like a guy who, week to week is just getting better and better, to the point where, as some of the offensive coaches like to say, he can wreck your game pretty quickly. You know, he's a game wrecker for the opposition. So, I like that. As I said at the beginning, I like Penn State's team on both sides of the ball, and I think they're solid in the kicking game as well. I think the punter is excellent, and obviously Hamler's a concern in the kicking game for the opponent. So, I think they can win every game that they play. I think this will be a test. And I know James and his staff, they won't be overlooking this team. They certainly didn't overlook Iowa when we did that game, or overlook Michigan State. You know, it was impressive the way they took care of business up there. So, and I think it probably helped them that they had lost to Michigan State the last couple of years. You know,
right.
It was, you were less likely to look past them knowing the recent history. So, 8-0 ought to get their attention, even though Minnesota hasn't played a ranked team yet.
Yeah.
All you can do is beat the people that you're playing. As we said, the last four games, not only they beat people, but they're hammering people, and they look really, really good on film doing it.
No question about that. I was watching some of it last night. Last question for you, Sean, and this is, obviously, I'm around, quote, Penn State all the time, as you said, and I know in advance that they're going to play Minnesota, so, I know for months ahead of time. But you are in a spot where you end up getting assigned to a game. So going into the season, Minnesota may not have been in your radar. So,
right.
So what does it take for you to get ready, especially when it's a team that you have not seen yet or a coaching staff you have not dealt with yet?
Right. That's a great question. First of all, it helps in the preparation that we've had Penn State three times now. So
right.
We're very familiar with the coaches, the personnel, the way they play, what the storylines of their season are, especially when we have their last game against Michigan State, and two out of the last three with going back to the game at Iowa. So, that helps really allow for more focus on Minnesota. The only problem is, ahead of Monday Night Football, we got our whole schedule before the year began. So you always knew who you had to prepare for and which teams you were going to have and you weren't going to have. We get our schedule in college football week to week, six games ahead. I don't find out until Sunday
right.
where we're going, 6 days later. So there's the element of surprise. But you can kind of look at the schedule and say, okay, we're very lucky because, our group basically gets the best team, a game that follows Herb Street. Their group does not do. So, you can kind of look at the upcoming schedule and say, okay, it's probably going to be this game or that game or that game. So you have a little bit of a clue. But I'm basically immersed in Minnesota this week, watching the films, reading everything I can read, talking to people who cover their program. We'll get in there on Friday and meet with their players and coaches. We'll do the same thing with the Nittany Lions when they get to their hotel. So it's like studying for a test every week. You try to learn as much as you can. There are great storylines on their team among the individual players. And with their program, as we talked about, I think it's a great chance for us to tell their story to the rest of the country. And at the same time, wanting to be balanced and make sure that Penn State gets its just due. But I think in this instance, people around the country know a lot more about Penn State than they do about Minnesota.
Well, the great respect I have for you and for your work. Sean, thanks so much for giving us the time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, that feeling is mutual, my friend, and look forward to seeing you. This is really going to be one of the great games of the year so far in college football. It's a great Saturday in college football, and I think this game will live up to the anticipation. I look forward to seeing you, and thanks for having me.
Hey, Sean, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
All right, you'll hear the game on Saturday at noon. 10:30 will be the airtime. And again, just to let everybody know out of the gate, Matt McGloin will not be on the broadcast Saturday. I guess he has something he has to do with the XFL he has to do. So don't think that we cut him out or that the rain got to him. It's just a circumstance.
And, I was going to say sign the contract, but I think he already did that, correct?
Yeah, he's already done that.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's obviously we're happy for him. Now, when it came time to buy dinner someplace, anyplace, you know, try to explain to us that it wasn't a multi-million dollar deal. I was like, okay, fine. All right, right, right. I got it. You're from West Grand. I got it. But that will be Saturday. And so it'll be Jack and me like the old days. Although Matt has added a lot, hasn't he? Boy, has he ever added a lot to us.
Stepped right in without hesitation. You thought he'd be with you guys in the broadcast for years.
Yeah, he's done a great job. Yeah. Done a great job. So that is... that's our deal coming up on Saturday. LSU-Alabama is Saturday. Ironically, I'm on in Alabama tonight to talk about Penn State-Minnesota.
This will be the first in quite a few years that LSU-Alabama is not a primetime Saturday night 8 o'clock game.
I think there's some reasons behind that. I think they deliberately wanted to play it at 3:30. Now, the president's going to be there. And that brings with it a, quote, logistical nightmare. Because, of course, if the president's going to be there, they have to shut down everything until he's in place. I know, okay, quick show of hands. All right, okay, I'm the only one that's ever been to Tuscaloosa. Okay, great. There may be a few of you that have been to Tuscaloosa, maybe not since a long time. Last time I was there was I there? 10 and a half months ago? Something like that.
I know the Greater Susquehanna Valley Penn State chapter did a trip down to Tuscaloosa for the away game.
Yeah, 2010.
That is correct, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well,
quite a few of them could be listening. Yeah.
The roads in and out are not compatible with the president showing up. But you know what? I mean, I understand he wants to. He wants to be there, big game, you know, but it does bring with it issues. It does bring with it issues. Have you ever seen the, when President Nixon declared the Texas-Arkansas winner the national champion? It was all part of the Southern strategy. And they showed him coming in by helicopter to the game. This is what, 1969? They show him arriving by helicopter. You can't do that today. You can't do that today. It's got to be, you know, the Secret Service and everything goes with it. As for the game, the mystery is going to be whether it's Matt Jones or Tua Tagovailoa. That's the mystery. The two defenses, which are normally the stalwarts of the team, have been good, not great this year. The offenses have been great. And the winner will have a leg up on the Western Division in the SEC. Just because the game is... you lose the game, it's already been proven. If you're Alabama, you can lose it and still get into the playoff. There have been two times now where Alabama has won the national championship where they did not win the division, let alone the SEC title.
I think a question that's going to be kicked around here over the next 4+ weeks, will the SEC get two teams in the college football playoff?
You know what? I'm really just concerned about Saturday.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
Penn State just needs to take care of its business. And believe it or not, that will be good enough. Okay. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. Steve's in the Sunbury Motors studio, and Sean Carey here. Don't forget about our podcast. Now, we've got it on Apple Podcast app and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. And also got to tell you about the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast. Our first time joining us on the show today is Kevin McGuire. Kevin, it's Sean Carey. Steve will be checking in just a few seconds. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We appreciate it very much. Locked On Nittany Lions podcast. You're involved with that. You've also been doing some writing over the past with NBC Sports. And you're based in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Philadelphia area. I'm somewhere between King of Prussia and Allentown, to be technical. But, yeah, I'm in the southeastern corner of Pennsylvania and been here a long time. And, yeah, obviously paying close attention to Penn State, and I've grew up going to Penn State games, and I've covered Penn State a little bit, so very, very fun time to be talking about the Nittany Lions too. So thank you for plugging that podcast. It is a daily podcast, Monday through Friday. We do new episodes every day. If you want to check it out, it is on iTunes as well. So hopefully your listeners want to come check it out sometime and let me know what they think.
So in the years and years you have been covering the Nittany Lions, let's just focus on this 2019 and 2019 team. Just talk about the progression you have seen going from Trace McSorley to Sean Clifford now running the show.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's been as big of a transition as a lot of people probably anticipated. Yeah, I'm not saying that Sean Clifford does everything that Trace McSorley was capable of doing and did do, but I don't expect him to because he is still a younger player. And, of course, McSorley had started there for 3 years, so he had a lot of experience and put a lot of the game on his shoulders when he needed to. So I think Sean Clifford is certainly capable of doing that. He's probably running the ball a little bit more than some people were anticipating, and I think given the fact that they have such a good stable of running backs already, you know, it's never a bad idea to mix in the quarterback run if it's capable of picking up some yards. So I think he's been pretty confident. He's been rattled a couple of times, but he has handled the adversity very well when he's had to. You know, especially going back to that Iowa game, I thought, you know, that was a little bit of a nerve-wracking start for him, and I think he would probably admit that. But and we saw that. But once the game got into that second quarter, he started to calm down and started to make some plays, and that's what you like to see out of a quarterback.
What has the connection with Hamler meant to not only big plays, but also maybe to steadying and keeping Sean Clifford, you know, in tough situations grounded?
It's a nice luxury to have when you've got a guy that can race down the field and get behind a defender and make those big plays. And that's always nice
asset to any offense, and it certainly can boost a quarterback's confidence, especially a young quarterback who's taken over a starting role for a guy that's been an experienced starter for how many years. So I think that that's a very nice luxury to have. And you know, obviously those two know each other. They're good buddies, I'm sure. So that connection, that camaraderie, that can go a long way. And you know, they're going to pick each other up too. So even if things aren't going well, one guy can go to the other guy and say that, hey, we'll just get them the next play. And you know what? They'll give it a shot, and they'll see if they can do it. So, you know, it's been working very well. So having a nice go-to deep threat like K.J. Hamler is certainly awesome to have if you're a quarterback.
We've talked a lot about, obviously, what Penn State's done with its defense. We'll talk about Sean Clifford, K.J. Hamler offensively. But Penn State's won some games playing the chess game. When you watch Penn State's special teams, what have they meant to the success that we have seen so far?
I feel like they've been covering very well. I really do feel like, you know, we don't talk about special teams unless they mess up, but I feel like that's a good sign for Penn State because they've had some pretty reliable special teams play here. So you know, not giving up a big punt return, not giving up a big kickoff return, plays that can be those so-called momentum changers, that's huge. And that has to carry on with some of these big games that are coming up very shortly, including this Minnesota game, because you don't want to give your opponent that's playing at home those kind of sparks when they need it the most. So that would be huge for Penn State moving forward if they can keep that going.
All right, the Penn State defense, we know the known entity going in was we knew that almost everybody in that defense could run. Now that you've watched it in practical application for 8 games, what are you seeing, Kevin?
They are very aggressive. You know, first of all, the defensive line, I think, is tremendous. I know they'll be without one guy this weekend, but, you know, still the depth on that offensive line, the fact that you've got two guys on the end that can really create some plays, it really helps because not a lot of teams are going to be able to run the ball, and you can create pressure on your quarterback, the opposing quarterback, and that can lead to some mistakes by those quarterbacks. So I think that that's huge. It's kind of been one of the stronger, more consistent strengths, I think, for this Penn State defense over the number of years, and it's always something you can fall back on. And then there's certainly a big reason why they're 8-0 this season. You know, they've got a real aggressive defensive line that is really hungry to track down the football and make something happen.
What is the depth on defense, man?
It's huge. I mean, you know, going back to the whole sanction phase, we knew that recruiting was probably going to take some time to get back up to speed. And I think the defensive side was probably able to pad the depth a little bit faster than maybe the offense has had. But I feel like they've really gotten back to where they want to be, you know, as far as the depth is concerned. It's certainly, like I said, the defensive line is very deep. I think they've got guys in the secondary and on the linebackers that are capable of stepping in and making something happen if they need to. So it's always great to have players ready to step in, and that's really been the next man up mentality that's been so successful for this program the last few years.
Do you think it's made a difference in the fourth quarter of a couple of games because of reduced play counts?
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest benefit that we've seen this year compared to last year. Obviously, you know, those games against Michigan State and Ohio State where they weren't able to protect the lead, I think a lot of pressure was put on the defense. And, you know, obviously the Michigan comeback was a little nerve-wracking, I think, for a while. But I think being able to go on the road and shut things down against Iowa, shut things down against Michigan State the way they have, I think that's a real big confidence boost. And I think that that does go a long way to suggesting that this defense is deep and ready to go.
You talked about sanctions and depth. An area that was expected to take the longest to come back would be the offensive line. What are you seeing in the offensive line this year, and what kind of difference makers have they become?
It's improving. I still think there's some room for improvement on offensive line, but you're seeing some really good production from the running game. And again, this offense has hit some walls, so I don't know if it's all to blame for the offensive line or whatever, but I do feel like being able to run the football with as many different guys as they have, it seems like everybody's getting a chance to make something happen. And that's got to be a huge credit to what the offensive line is doing. And also, they're protecting the quarterback. Sean Clifford, he may be under pressure at times, but he's not getting hit. He's not being taken down too consistently. So I think that there's a lot of a lot of improved offensive line play overall.
All right, so we've talked about K.J. Hamler. Now there's Pat Freiermuth. When you look at Pat Freiermuth and Nick Bowers, the two tight ends, sometimes that tight end, if they're really good, can be the quarterback's best friend. Have they developed into that?
I think they are there. I really do feel like that's a real good, you know, fallback option if you need it. You know, guy that's going to be, you know, able to block and able to get into open space in the middle of the field. That's always going to be huge because, you know, sometimes you're going to be looking for that big play. Maybe you're looking for Hamler down deep, but a team like Minnesota is probably not going to give up too many of those plays. So I think this weekend in particular, this could be a big game for the tight ends because they're going to be able to cause things to be mixed up a little bit for that Minnesota defense. You know, like I said, Minnesota doesn't give up a lot of long plays, so if you can get some chunks of yards with your tight ends making plays, that's huge.
All right, so let's get to Minnesota for a moment. When you sit down and you look at what they've done to this point, they are 8-0. They have led at halftime of every game, but they also had to get themselves in the non-conference schedule, their three non-conference schedules. They had to come up with escape plans. What do you see in a football team that has really dominated its last five games?
I'm seeing a program that is building a foundation for success, and they're gaining more and more confidence by the week. And I think a lot of it does go back to what they were able to do in those non-conference games. A lot of people look at that non-conference schedule and suggest that it's not all that challenging. But the teams that they were playing were winning teams at their respective levels and their respective conferences. Those were teams that knew how to win games. So they were going to challenge Minnesota early on. Minnesota responded well, got the wins, and all of a sudden now they can build off of that and try to learn and improve from those performances moving into conference play as they have. And now they're coming off three of their best performances all around, I think offensively and defensively. And now, say what you will about the level of competition, Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland isn't the biggest litmus test, I think, for Minnesota. That's why it's going to be really interesting to see what they do against Penn State. But this is a confident bunch right now that's playing some good football all around.
And they are playing good football around. They also are averaging 34-43 per game time of possession. What does it mean for whichever team to get the lead in this game?
I'm not so sure it would be devastating if Penn State falls behind here because of the way that this offense will tend to make those big plays happen. But I don't think you want to get behind by double digits because the way that Minnesota runs the ball, it's going to be pretty tough to win back the battle of the clock, the game clock. However, Penn State doesn't give up a lot of rushing yards. So that's going to be a real interesting, fascinating matchup for me, how well Minnesota runs the ball and how effectively they can run the ball when they need to, because I don't think they're going to get too many yards against the Penn State defense. But I do think that if Minnesota can get out to a nice little start, maybe score an early touchdown, maybe even go up 10-0 before Penn State gets comfortable, that could be a little bit nauseating or dangerous, I think, if you're Penn State. So I think you know, getting ahead early is certainly key, especially when you're on the road like Penn State did against Iowa and Michigan State this year.
Kevin, what about the ability to flip the script? Now, what if Penn State gets the lead? Does that put Minnesota potentially out of character?
I think so, because they haven't really been faced with that kind of adversity just yet against a caliber team like they're going to be facing against Penn State. This is a much different animal and a bigger test. But like I said, they are a confident team, so even if they do fall behind, I don't expect them to roll over. I think that they are very capable of fighting back and maybe slow things down a little bit and chip away going into the fourth quarter. But I think that this is a Minnesota team that is going to be riding on some adrenaline to start the game. Maybe they can make some mistakes, but I do think that this Minnesota team is not going to be rattled if they fall back.
All right, so let's get to a couple national things for a moment. When you look nationally, what are some of the key storylines that you're looking at in the month of November, Kevin, that could play a role?
Well, we obviously know that we got the playoff rankings last night, so that is now the main focus for a lot of teams. But I think you look around the country at some of these teams that are out there, it's a pretty wide-open race, or maybe a little bit more wide-open than it has been in the last few years, where we've been kind of just counting down to Alabama, Clemson, year, whatever. But that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case this year, although we still could end up there anyway. But I do think that a team like LSU, the way they've been playing offensively, it's just been so much fun to watch this year because that's been kind of missing from them for a long time. It kind of makes up for the fact that they're not having a great defensive year. And you look over in Columbus, Ohio State's just been on a roll, and they look like they're on a mission right now.
Hey, you mentioned LSU and the job. Speaking of Ohio State, Joe Burrow is now the quarterback, and he transferred from Ohio State. What has he done to the transformation and the perception of LSU's offense?
He has been such a key player for the way we're looking at LSU, because quarterback has not been LSU's strength for a long time, regardless of who the coach has been. And now the fact that Joe Burrow is in there and he's confident and he's been throwing the football the way that he is to his talented wide receivers, it's just a completely different dynamic where they can, you know, go upfield, they can go up tempo, and they feel pretty good about their chances throwing the ball up and having one of their guys catch it and run the rest of the way. So this has been truly a much more dynamic LSU offense than we've seen in quite some time, potentially ever. I don't know if I want to go quite that far, but it has been a long time since LSU's offense has been this scary. And it's actually an offense that could give Alabama some trouble this weekend.
Yeah, no question. Now let's flip it to Alabama. That's the other big one, obviously, at 3:30 against LSU. We don't know the status of Tua Tagovailoa, but one would guess he would be able to play. What is your perception of Alabama to this point?
I still think Alabama is really darn good. I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration to say that. Even if Tua is not playing this weekend, I still kind of like Alabama's chances, because I do think that they have more than enough playmakers, especially a wide receiver, to make some plays happen, regardless of who the quarterback is. And that's not to take anything away from Tua. I think he's phenomenal when he's healthy. But if he is banged up, that is going to be a little bit of a concern, because as we saw toward the end of last season, he doesn't necessarily play his best football when he is a little bit bothered by an injury. So that could be huge. But as far as Alabama's concerned, this is, again, like LSU, this is not the best defensive Alabama team we've seen. But when they play in this kind of a matchup, it seems like they hit another gear. And I think with a bye week to prepare, with Nick Saban as the head coach, I fully anticipate that we might see the best defensive performance Alabama has had this year.
Dabo Swinney obviously knows that the ACC is not a powerful conference. That's why he went out and he scheduled Texas A&M. Look, they're in a good spot at 5 because teams in front of them have to play each other. What's your perception of Clemson this year? Not the defending national champion. I mean, Clemson this year.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the fact that they are the defending national champion and they're being held up to a high standard. But like you said, you know, being the 5th best team in the country is a pretty decent spot to be in at the beginning of November. They've had some ups and downs. It hasn't been quite as smooth running offensively at times as I think a lot of people anticipated. And I think a lot of that goes back to Trevor Lawrence, who's still a sophomore. As great as he was last season as a freshman, especially in that championship game against Alabama, we kind of forget that he is still a very young player. He's still going to be learning a little bit. So I think he's had a couple bumps along the way, but I think he's handled it pretty well. And I think that this Clemson team, especially with the running back, Travis Etienne, he's a really good running back too. So he's more than capable of making up for any kind of slow bumps in the road they may have passing the football. And then defensively, I still think Clemson's really good. Yeah, that's been one of the strengths for them under Dabo Swinney, the way they've recruited players and developed their defensive players. They are very good. But, yeah, it's the strength of schedule, you can say what you will about it, but they are still a very good team. If they get into a playoff, they'll be a tough out for anybody.
How much have you enjoyed the podcast?
I am loving it. I started it around actually the beginning of October, so I missed the first month of the season, but it's a little bit of a grind at times, but I love getting a chance to talk about this team on a regular basis, and I hope people check it out.
Kevin, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time very much, and good luck with the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on. It was a pleasure having the chance to talk to you.
All right, Kevin McGuire. Locked On, the Nittany Lions podcast. Great to have him with us on the show. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show. Thanks to Sean McDonough, Kevin McGuire, Ken Pomeroy for being on. Tomorrow, Ken Miller will join us from Pro Football Focus. We'll break down some of the numbers on the individual players that you'll see in the game on Saturday between Penn State and Minnesota. And then Friday, it's off to Minneapolis. People wonder about the temperature. It looks like the kickoff temperature is going to be about 34, 35. Eventually, it's going to climb somewhere in the second half to about 40 or 41. No precipitation, though. And don't forget, tomorrow night will be the Penn State Coaches Show presented by Pepsi. James Franklin will be on tomorrow night. Before that, by the way, before he gets there, Jeff Cook of the men's soccer team will be on. Jeff, his team finished second in the Big Ten, so thus they are the number two seed. They'll take on Wisconsin Sunday at 1. Sunday at 1 o'clock. And the Penn State-Ohio State game has already been picked for noon by Fox. Pretty much thought that would happen because it was my understanding that Fox had the last three weekends where they had the number one pick. Now, they already picked Michigan, Ohio State back in May, I think, because they had the first overall pick. And I think they've got Michigan, Michigan State next weekend. And then, of course, then it was Penn State, Ohio State. So it was my understanding that they had the last three first picks. So it was no surprise. They're going to do a two-hour pregame show and the whole thing. But Penn State's got Minnesota coming up this weekend. That is, we're just doing that for your information. Minnesota's a team. Tanner Morgan, they thought he'd battle for the starting quarterback, but he wasn't the favorite to win it. And then an injury had him winning it. He's played well. His Purdue game stands out above all, where he's 21-22. He's got terrific receivers. Ottman Bell, Bateman, and of course Johnson. Johnson is he's terrific. Bateman's a pro too. They're really great receivers, terrific receivers, big receivers. But something has been interesting. I know the ground game has taken over for Minnesota. That's why the time of possession is the way it is. But Morgan is only 55% as a passer since that 21-22 against Purdue. Maybe the off week revitalizes it. Maybe he stays in that. Now, 55% is good, but still kind of a mini slump in some ways. We'll find out. Looking forward to it.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.